Ever start a new supplement and wonder, is this really working? You're not alone. Most supplements aren't easily absorbed, which means your body might not be getting the nutrients it needs. Symbiotica takes a different approach, with formulas designed for maximum absorption. Favorites, like their liposomal vitamin C, support a strong immune system and boost natural collagen production. And their newest standout, liquid colostrum, is essential for a healthy gut, packed with nutrients that soothe and restore the gut lining. Symbiotica's clean, bioavailable supplements help your body actually use what you take, delivering real results. And with a monthly subscription, it's easy to stay consistent. Symbiotica makes wellness simple. Ready to feel the difference? Go to Symbiotica.com and use code START for 20% off. That's Symbiotica.com, code START. Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the Ultra Comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning 5 here on Friday, May 29th, 2026. I am Dave Biddle, very happy joined by Patrick Murphy. We're going to have some fun on the show today. Not that we don't always have fun on the show. By the way, Jay Book is off. He'll be back next week. He's on a family vacation. Patrick, great to see you as always, my friend.
Yeah, good to be here. I will try and fill Jay Book's shoes as best I can.
And Patrick and I are going to make predictions on today's show. We're not going to do easy. We're not going to just pick who's going to lead Ohio State in like receiving yards. That'd be pretty easy. We are going to do a receiving yards category. We're going to go 1, 2, 3, 4. Who's going to be first in receiving yards, second, third, and fourth? And we have seven other categories as well. We have four offensive and four defensive. So we have who's going to be 1, 2, 3, 4 in rushing yards. Who's going to be 1, 2, 3, 4 in receptions, receiving yards, and then total touchdowns on offense. And then on defense, sacks, tackles for loss, tackles. And we're going to just go total tackles. We're not going to break it down solo and all that. Solo and assisted combined. And then interceptions. All right. Pat won the toss. He elected to receive. All right. Rush yards. 1 through 4. Give it to me.
Yeah. First of all, I just want to say that this was not as easy. Like, you sent this out and I was like, oh, okay, no big deal here. And then I was going through and like, once you get to 3 or 4 in some of these, it gets potentially a little dicey here. I think the top for most of these categories is pretty easy. Most people will have similar answers, but, yeah, I think you want me to give all 4 at once or do you want to go back and forth here?
Give me all 4 at once, and then we can snake draft it. Like, we can go all 4 at once. Right. Then I'll give my 4. Then maybe I can go first next. And yeah. Let's do it like that.
Okay, I will say that Bo Jackson, I think, no surprise, number one. If he doesn't lead the Buckeyes in rushing, either somebody really emerged that we didn't expect, or he got hurt. Knock on wood here. So let's say Bo Jackson. I'm gonna go Isaiah West, though I debated with Jacoby Jackson potentially, but I think Jacoby Jackson could end up more in the short yardage third down potential role than as a, true number three, number two back. And then I went to Jacoby Jackson because I do think he will get enough work. And then I was looking back because I was trying to figure out, okay, how often has Ohio State's top four rushers been all four running backs under Ryan Day? And it's been most years. I think you can figure out, obviously the Will Howard year and then the two Justin Fields years, they had quarterbacks there. But I'm going to give Julian Sain the benefit of the doubt here. And I'm going to say that he has the fourth most rushing yards. And really, I think that's more because the fourth running back, if there is a fourth running back, say a Legend Day, is like a gadget guy and not really a true running back. So he may have like total yards and Julian may be fourth with like 130. I think one year, Dwayne Haskins and Tate Martell each had like 110 rushing yards the last year of Urban Meyer. So I'm going to give Julian Sain the benefit of the doubt. We've been saying he needs to run some. I'm going to say he does it. And he is the fourth leading rusher on this team. Not a ton of yards, but he ends up fourth.
Okay, my one through four, I got Bo Jackson, and I have his cousin, Jacoby Jackson. They're not related, Bucknutters. I'm kidding. Jacoby Jackson, I have him second, but you're right. It was a tough debate between Jacoby and Isaiah West. I like both of them. Jacoby really impressed me during spring, and something Carlos Lachlan said really stood out to me. He was asked might have even been you. I can't remember. It was either you, Dan Hope, or Doug Lamoureux. One of the three of you asked, who's the most complete back on the roster? And he thought about it. He's like, you guys are trying to get me in trouble. I love Lachlan. And he goes, all right, most complete, Bo Jackson and Jacoby. I'm like, okay, that stood out a lot to me. And I thought Jacoby looked really good. I knew he'd be good running between the tackles. He even looked good on the perimeter running, and he looked good catching the ball out of the backfield. And Lachlan said that Isaiah – and, he said Isaiah can catch. It was Turbo and Key that he said are not good at catch. He's like, those guys that look like they're trying to catch it like a trash dumpster or something like that. It's some type of funny analogy with that. But it always stood with me that he said Jacoby Jackson, along with Bo, is the most complete back. So I'll go with Jacoby. Then I have Isaiah West right there. I have Legend Bay fourth. I think he's going to have a role in this offense. I do think Julian's going to run more, but the weird – rule in college that sacks count against your rushing yards, which is not how it works in the NFL. That's going to hurt Julian. Not that he's going to get sacked that much, but the fact that anytime he gets sacked, that hurts that, his negative rushing yards for him, which it really
is true.
Like that. Unless it's the quarterback's fault. I think it should be subjective. If the offensive line gets blown up and the quarterback gets sacked, that should not affect his rushing yards. If he's doing something stupid back there, it should be subjective. It'd be like in baseball having an official score. Like, how can you make that a subjective? Easily, just like a ball's hit to the second baseman, you rule if it was a hit or an error based on what he did. Anyway, I went off on a tangent there. So I have Legend Bay fourth over Mr. Julian Sain. Now, if hopefully Julian stays healthy, if Tavian St. Clair ends up taking the job, I reserve the right to have Tavian St. Clair in my top four. Receptions. These are not yards, just receptions. All right. J.J. Smith, number one. Some people call him Jeremiah Smith. All of his teammates call him JJ, so I call him JJ. Coaches call him JJ. Brandon Ennis, I think people are sleeping on him a little bit. Fourth on the team last year, but no Max Clair, no Carnell Tate, although he does have Chris Henry Jr. on the come up. A lot of people think Chris Henry Jr. is going to be second. I have Chris Henry Jr. third. I was tempted to put McHugh in third. But I have Chris Henry Jr. third and McHugh in fourth. You're one through four at receiver.
I will also go with Jeremiah first. Again, I think no brainer there unless you assume he opts out of the season or something, which I don't think is going to happen. Then I will go with – I'm going to go Devin McHugh in second. I think he is – I was really impressed. I know you and I have talked about him a lot, Dave, with him in the spring. I think it'll be close with him and the number three guy, which is Brandon Ennis. I just think – look, if I can go back and turn on film and watch Devin McHugh and be really productive in college, I cannot yet do that as a receiver for Brandon Ennis. So on the safe side of things, I'm just going to go with McHugh and Brandon Ennis third. And then I'm going to go with Parker fourth, I think. I really debated because, to me, first of all, it should be Parker because he – is a veteran guy, right? But I don't know. I haven't seen it yet from him. It hasn't popped when we've watched him play yet. Didn't have a catch, I don't believe, in the spring game. So that may show you sort of where he is in the pecking order. It may just have been the way that day played out. Maybe he was dealing with something, so they didn't play him a ton. But I think of the two transfers, I'm higher on McEwen, but I do think Parker's going to play enough to be in that conversation for those top four in receptions.
I do feel like LV Buckeyes has a good point here. I think he says, for those that are just listening to the audio-only version, LV Buckeyes on YouTube checks in. He says, I think Bo Jackson will be in the top four receptions, especially with the focus on JJ. I could see that. And we know that he's good at catching the ball out of the backfield. I could see Bo being fourth on the team in reception. That's a good call, LV Buckeyes. It's going to be interesting. I think Brandon Ennis, again, I think people are sleeping on him. I mean, he's going to be a two-time captain. That speaks mm-hmm. volumes to me. Iron Buckeye. Agreed. That speaks volumes to me. I always say, Pat, I think you feel the same way. If they named 20 Iron Buckeyes, that would be a huge accomplishment to be one of those on a team of 105 guys.
Right.
I mean, four guys. Like, I mean, that is a huge accomplishment. And like, put Brandon Ennis on UT. Nothing, because I like McEwen a lot too. This is nothing against McEwen, because I think he, as you said, he popped during spring. He's got a quickness. He's a different type of receiver. I think he's going to have a good year. Put Brandon Ennis on UT San Antonio the last 2 years. Think his stats might be a little better.
They probably would be.
Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate and Emeka Egbuka ahead of him, and even Max Clair was really the slot receiver last year. So yeah, I hear what you're saying, but like, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like it's Brandon Ennis's time. We'll see. But yeah, that's a good point about Bo Jackson. All right, your turn to go first. Right now, we're up to receiving yards.
Yes, Jeremiah Smith. If not, either somebody figured out how to cover him really well and every other team was able to replicate it, or knock on wood, he got hurt. I don't see that happening the way the kid's built. Again, knock on wood. So he will lead the team in receiving yards for the third straight year, which that would be an interesting research project. How many guys have led the Buckeyes in receiving yards three straight years? I bet it's not many. After him, I will go McEwen again. This is going to look similar. McEwen, Brandon Ennis. And then LV Buckeyes sort of stole my thunder here. Oh. I'm going to go Bo. I know. I was just going to wait. I wasn't going to say anything. I'm going to go Bo Jackson for receiving yards. I went back and looked. Every year under Ryan Day, I believe it is, the Buckeyes' third or fourth receiver in receiving yards has not been a wide receiver. It has been a tight end or running back. That goes all the way back to the beginning. So I thought about the tight ends. I just wasn't sure who might be that guy out of this group. There's not a clear receiving tight end. I thought about Nate Roberts, but I need to see more of him as a receiver. So I think Bo Jackson, I think they can get him the ball. As LV Buckeye says, Coach Day talked him up as a former receiver. Carlos Lachlan's done the same. So I think they get him the ball, and maybe that's where some of these big plays come that they've talked about this spring, is the ability to just get him the ball in space and just let him go. And that way he doesn't have to, you know, worry about breaking tackles and things like that, though I do think he will be better at that this year as a runner. But I think that he could be, and I'm not talking a huge number of receiving yards, right? This is, you know, we're talking a few hundred here, and that's like one big play and a few others. So I don't think he's going to have as many catches, but I think he could bust off a few big ones that then allows him to be fourth in that category.
Maybe we should have went fifth and sixth and just kept it going.
Let's
really make this hard. I wanted to make it hard because you're right. I mean, a lot of these, it's like, especially if we're talking about like, who's going to lead the team in receptions and receiving yards. I mean, come on. But then
it
gets interesting.
Some of these categories will get more interesting.
Yes, definitely. Now, I'm going to be very boring here on receiving yards. I wrote down same on my list here. Same. It's the same as I have for reception. So I have Jeremiah Smith. I have Brandon Ennis, Chris Henry Jr., Devin McEwen. But I mean, other guys are going to be in the mix. I think Nate Roberts is going to have a good year. I don't think he's going to be top four in receiving yards, though. I think he is going to be the number one tight end. But they have other guys they're going to use. They like Bennett Christian. They like the two transfers they got, and Mason Williams and Welsing. So, but I think Roberts is going to have a good year. But if we went like to maybe sixth, I might pick him. But yeah, I just have the same. I have Jeremiah Smith, Brandon Ennis, Chris Henry Jr., and then Devin McEwen. But you know, I mean, I could see Parker being in the mix. We haven't mentioned Brock Boyd yet. I mean, we mentioned Nate Roberts. Brock Boyd's a guy that's just, I think obviously it's going to be probably his sophomore year when he breaks out, but man, they love him. He got his black stripe off before anybody else, any other freshman. Yep. So, and for a while he was the only freshman. For a while he was the only one. He got it off like early, and then it was like, anyway. All right. I'm up first here. All right. Total touchdowns. You can pick a defensive player if you want. This is, I consider this an offensive category. If we have a defensive player in the top four in touchdowns, that'll be, that guy's going to have a good year. All right, total touchdowns. Jeremiah Smith. I said I always call him JJ. Now I'm calling him Jeremiah. JJ, number one. I have Bo Jackson, number two. This is where, and then I have Jacoby Jackson third, because I think he's going to do kind of have that C.J. Donaldson role, but be better than C.J. was at it. But I also think Bo's going to get more maybe – I'm not always just going to take Bo out, because I think Bo does a pretty good job of falling forward. But I think Jacoby's going to be the goal line back. But Isaiah West can get some work done there too. But again, I go back to Jacoby can also catch the ball out of the backfield well. So I have Jacoby third. I didn't think C.J. Donaldson was good at all last year, but he did score a lot of touchdowns. So
double digits.
Yes, that affected my – and he had like a streak there where he had like touchdowns in like, what, five straight games or something like that? I can't
something
remember.
Like that, yeah.
No. Then I have my guy Brandon Ennis fourth. Although, I mean, it's so tough. But I have Ennis fourth. So I have JJ, Bo, Jacoby, and Ennis.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
The total touchdowns, are we counting passing and rushing together?
No.
You cross the end zone.
So for Julian, he has to score a rushing touchdown.
Okay. All right.
I almost put him fourth because – that would be great if he's fourth on the team in touchdowns. I need to see it before I – because you're right. We've seen it with Justin Fields and Will Howard, and that's it, during the Ryan Day era.
Yeah.
And he's not those guys. Will they do it more than last year? I think, but that's the lowest of low bars. but, no, I should have clarified that. Just total touchdowns that you score, yes.
Okay. That's what I thought, but I wanted to double check. I assumed also based on your list.
I was going to say if I didn't put Julian in there. Hey, do you think Julian sucks? Like, no. Quite
they're just not going to throw. Yeah. Okay. I went with Bo Jackson first for total touchdowns. And I think that when they get into the red zone, they are going to use these tight ends. You know, they're certainly going to line up in heavy tight end packages. I think they're going to be more effective with that under Arthur Smith. The way he did it in the NFL, not only do tight ends catch touchdowns, but they're also more effective blocking. So I think Bo Jackson, just by the nature of being on the field the most, is going to be in there. And I think this will be a narrow, you know, we're talking like 17 total touchdowns. Maybe he runs 14 and catches three or something. And then Jeremiah Smith, like one behind is what I'm thinking. Here, I just think he's gonna be more effective than Jacoby Jackson, like you said. And then I really debated this fourth one because, like I said, I think tight ends are going to be involved in the red zone. I think they're gonna throw to them once they get in close. We saw that some in the red zone periods when we were there for Student Appreciation Day. I think three tight ends caught touchdowns there, but I think that number is gonna disperse between, you know, whether it's Bennett Christian, Nate Roberts, or if there's a third tight end that steps in. So I went Brandon Ennis here. I think you could get some, you know, seam routes and things like that where he has some bigger plays and gets in the end zone. I also think, you know, he's talked about it, wanting to be in that receiver pantheon at Ohio State when it comes to the NFL draft. Well, he has a lot of work to do, and catching touchdowns would help. I think Ohio State staff knows that, so I think they'll try and get him the ball as well. But there's a lot of mouths to feed here. I also think this offense is going to have to score a lot. I think this defense is going to be good, but I don't think it's going to be like the last 2 years where they can just lean on that defense. So I think this offense is going to have to be a high scoring group like we saw early on in the Ryan Day era. So I think these numbers could all be fairly high if all goes to plan.
All right, we switch to the defensive side of the ball. I love this. I bet we're going to have the same guy at first, and then it's going to be interesting after that. Sacks. Who's your 1, 2, 3?
Oh, you had Edric Houston first? No, I'm just kidding. Kenyatta Jackson. I think that's the obvious one. Then it gets interesting because we don't know what this pecking order is, right? Like, even looking back at the spring, like sometimes it was Quay Russo, sometimes it was Zion Grady. I went the safer route and went Russo just because he's older. But he's got to, you know, at Alabama, he was playing that sort of hybrid role, right? He's got to prove he can be a true defensive end. Then I went Zion Grady. And then I went Christian Allegro. Because if they use him in the Arvell Reese role, I think he's going to get into the backfield. You know, we saw it last year with both linebackers, frankly, getting some sacks. So I think just, you know, for lack of having a ton of obvious options at defensive end, I threw Christian Allegro in there.
I went with Kenyatta Jackson one. I agree with most of your list here. I had Quay Rousseau second. I have Zion Grady third. I was tempted to put Zion second. He missed most of spring, missed contact drills during spring. He was out there when they were doing position drills, like you said, but like for contact, he wasn't out there. But the fact that he played as much as he did, especially down the stretch last year, he's out there a lot against Michigan. He's out there a lot against Indiana and Miami. That tells me everything I need to know about how Larry Johnson and Matt Patricia feel about him. But I have Rousseau second, Grady third, and then I really debated between Allegro, who you said, Bo Atkinson, and even Edrick Houston. That'd be great for Ohio State if Edrick Houston is in the top four for sacks. And he could be. I mean, that would be awesome for Ohio State. I gave it to Bo Atkinson. He added almost nothing last year, but he did have 7.5 sacks the previous year at North Carolina. So we've seen him do it at the power four level, North Carolina, but still. And he had a really good offseason. I mean, you could even see it. And it was his first time, because he didn't enroll till June last year, as you know. So everything's been a first for him. First time going through a season as a Buckeye. First time going through Mickey Marotti's offseason conditioning program. First time going through spring ball. Now first time going through the summer conditioning. They said he turned it on in winter conditioning, and he looked good in spring. So I gave it to Bo fourth with Allegro, like others receiving votes, but I could see that going either way. I could see that. But again, I mean, if you're a Buckeye fan out there, if Edrick Houston's in there, that's good news. All right. Now my turn to go first. We're going tackles for loss. All right. I went Kenyatta, Rousseau. This is where I gave it to Allegro. And then I went Zion Grady fourth.
Okay. I did. Let me pull this up here. Kenyatta. Then I did. Sorry, I'm looking at sacks here. Kenyatta. Then I did Rousseau again. I just think. I agree Zion Grady might end up being the number two. It would not surprise me if, like, opening defensive series against Ball State, you have Rousseau and Kenyatta Jackson out there just for the experience. But, we know what happens when Larry Johnson gets a chance to rotate, right? That's when these defensive ends have been at their best. But I went two linebackers after this because I was looking back and – that has happened a couple of times where they've at least been in the top five. Like last year, Sonny had 6.5. He was behind Cade McDonald. But I went with Allegro third and Peyton Pierce fourth. I think those guys have opportunities to get outside a little bit easier. Zion Grady could certainly be there. I also thought Edrick Houston, like I said, K-Mac last year was fourth in tackles for loss. So he could certainly be in there. I think this is going to be, maybe Kenyatta pulls away a little bit, but I think the rest of these other three, maybe four, five, six, are all going to be very close. I think it'll be, we could argue a lot of different guys here.
Yeah, definitely. And, Kenyatta, I think we're all assuming he's going to take the next step, and I think he will. He had a good year. He was a first-year starter last year. He had a good year. He had 6.5 sacks. I think he barely had double-digit tackles for loss. If he can take that.
Yeah, he had 11.
Yeah, I'm not saying he has to be Chase Young. That happens. That's fantastic. Or both brothers. But if he can get to like what Caden Curry provided last year, be a double-digit sack guy, and then, like you said, pull away and tackles for loss as well, that would be huge for this team. I think we're all assuming that will happen. That needs to happen for this D-line to be where it needs to be. Kenyatta needs to be a stud as a fifth-year senior, and I think he will be. All right. You're up first on this one, sir. Tackles. Who's going to lead the team in tackles? Who's going to be second, third, and fourth?
Tackles, I'm going to go with Peyton Pierce. I think he just, the middle of that defense, his job is going to be all over the place. Sonny Styles was the guy last year. So I think from what we've seen from him, like, I think he steps in to that role and is another tackling machine. After him, I will go with the guy who we keep bringing up, Christian Allegro. he was a tackling machine for Wisconsin once he really got his opportunities. He will play through injury too, which I think is something that probably not talked about enough, that the kid played with a broken hand against Ohio State, losing in the second half. I know you've brought it up, but just I can't get talked about enough, or a broken wrist, whatever it ended up being. So him second. I'm going to go with Jalen McClain third. Again, I think he's a guy who's going to be asked to do a lot on the back end of this defense, sometimes stepping up into other roles like Caleb Downs did a year ago. For me, I think this could be a really big year. I really like Jalen McClain. I think he's going to be big. And then I think Edric Houston, I was looking for kind of an oddball one here, but if he can just be in around that line of scrimmage all the time and have that year that we sort of expected a year ago, he should certainly be in the mix. Plus he's athletic enough to get, if a play does start to break out, he can go and make a play, behind where you would expect, sort of past the line of scrimmage. So I'm going to put Edric Houston fourth.
Ever start a new supplement and wonder, is this really working? You're not alone. Most supplements aren't easily absorbed, which means your body might not be getting the nutrients it needs. Symbiotica takes a different approach, with formulas designed for maximum absorption. Favorites, like their liposomal vitamin C, support a strong immune system and boost natural collagen production. And their newest standout, liquid colostrum, is essential for a healthy gut, packed with nutrients that soothe and restore the gut lining. Symbiotica's clean, bioavailable supplements help your body actually use what you take, delivering real results. And with a monthly subscription, it's easy to stay consistent. Symbiotica makes wellness simple. Ready to feel the difference? Go to Symbiotica.com and use code START for 20% off. That's Symbiotica.com, code START. When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I have Jalen McClain one.
Okay, I like that.
And I was I think it's gonna be really close between him and Peyton Pierce. You have Pierce first. I go with McClain because I thought he had a really good year as a sophomore, first year starter. I think he's gonna take that next step this year and just be an absolute stud. No more Caleb Downs. Him and Peyton are both kind of the two leaders of the defense. When you talk to Patricia, I think he's still debating who's gonna wear the green dot. It's gonna be one of those two. And I'll give it to McClain, especially, with Caleb not being there anymore. He's going to take on even, more of those responsibilities. He's going to be close to the line of scrimmage. He's a good tackler. He's a sure tackler. He also can hit you. He also can, but he's not one of these guys that's up there trying to knock your head off every time. He's a sure tackler, and right. he's got a lot of dog in him. And he was one of the Iron Buckeyes. Again,
these
guys to be four out of 105, there's probably 50 guys that are doing a great job or more that are doing a great job, and you're four of 105. That's awesome. So give me McClain, give me Peyton Pierce second, and this is where it gets interesting. Guy we have not mentioned yet, although you might mention him in the next category, Earl Little Jr. I think he's gonna be one of those guys that just doesn't leave the field. He's gonna play nickel. He's gonna play safety. Might play some pseudo corner, mostly safety and nickel. I got Earl Little Jr. And then I got TJ Alford. I think Alford and Pettijohn, one of those guys is going to explode this year. If both of them explode, that's great. I think because I thought Alford looked great in the spring. Pettijohn was hurt. I think both those guys are going to be studs here. They'll both be starting together at the following year, I imagine. But anyway, I mean, Peyton Pierce will still be around though. But I have McClain, Pierce, Little, Alford as my 1 through 4 in tackles. Although Allegro, it's tough. It was tough to leave him off. I wanted to get TJ Alford some love, though, man. All right, interceptions. Our final one. All right, I go first on this one. All right, Devin Sanchez, I have him one. I have Earl Little Jr. two. I have Jermaine Matthews three. I was tempted to go Jermaine second, but I gave it to Earl Little. You know, he was pretty good at you know, forcing turnovers last year. And then I gave it to Terry Moore fourth. I was not impressed with him early in spring. I thought Roker clearly was ahead of him. Then I thought he started to knock the rust off. He had missed last year with the torn ACL, of course, at Duke, and started to look like he was getting more and more and more comfortable. And he was a pretty good ball hawk at Duke in 2024. So I'll give it to Terry Moore, although it's at, if Leroy Roker plays a lot more snaps than Terry Moore, I'll look foolish for saying that. But I'll give it to Terry Moore at number four. Who you got?
Similarly, I went with Devin Sanchez first. I think this, in talking to him, I talked to him out at the Cotton Bowl, and then we talked to him again during the spring. Like, I think he really learned a lot and, like, has the right mentality coming off of a freshman season that had some really good moments, but also, you know, that Illinois game and sometimes when he got targeted. The way he talks about it, I think he's really internalized that in a very positive way. So I think this is a good, really good year for him to sort of break out. He was on CBS Sports, did a list of second-year players who could have an impact on the college football playoff, the teams that make the college football playoff, and he was one from Ohio State, which I thought made a lot of sense. So I think he leads it. I think then you get then I went Jermaine Matthews. I think they're going to use Jermaine Matthews as an outside corner, as a nickel. I think he's going to have a lot of opportunities to pop up in different spots. So that'll give him a chance to kind of get there, get towards the ball. Then I also went Earl Little Jr. I'm excited about him. I was disappointed we didn't get to see him in the spring game and fans didn't get to see him. It was good to see Terry Moore play some more, but I think he's a guy who's going to excite a lot of people. And then last, again, I sort of went with a curveball here. I went Dominic Kelly because I think when Jermaine Matthews moves to that nickel spot, Kelly's going to be the outside corner, and I think he's going to have opportunities. And if you've got Jermaine Matthews at the nickel and you've got Devin Sanchez covering out wide, I think quarterbacks are going to attack Dominic Kelly. And I think unlike last year with Devin Sanchez, Dominic Kelly's played some ball, right? He's played college football. So I don't think he will have as sort of as big of eyes when that does happen. And I think that'll be an opportunity to pick some off. Dave, real question for
you. Oh, no, you said real quick.
Our top guy, how many interceptions does the top guy have?
So how many interceptions will Devin Sanchez have? I mean, I think we all think that, like, because, oh, he's gonna have having four interceptions is a lot. I'll go with four.
Yes. Okay. I looked back and, like, last year the leader was two. Year before that, leader two. Both times Caleb Downs, actually, or at least he was tied for it. So I think it passes two. I think that may be something that this defense changes this year is the turnovers. So I had three, but you said four. I'm going to say four also.
Yeah, if I was putting the over-under for whoever leads the team in interceptions, it probably should be 2.5 based on what you just said. I'd probably put it at 3.5. Yeah, maybe 2.5 would be smarter because you're right. I mean, like, we always think about, like, oh, this guy's a great corner. He's going to get, like, 7 interceptions this year. I mean, this is an extreme example because teams just wouldn't throw at him, but I always love talking about Sean Springs in 1996, Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, first-team All-American, 0 interceptions because quarterbacks did not want to throw his way. Jake Plummer, I think, I think he gave up one reception to that receiver named Poole, P-O-L-L-E, for Arizona State in the Rose Bowl. And Sean Springs was ticked that he gave up one catch to that guy because I'm not going to give up any. Sean Springs was – I know what happened in the Michigan game that year. We give him some grace there. He slipped. They should have won that game anyway. Ohio State lost that game in 96 to Michigan because they didn't score touchdowns in the first half. Three times they had first and goal. And all three times they kicked field goals, are up 9-0 at halftime, and there was just an eerie feeling in there. And then that stupid Ty Street's touchdown where Springs slips made it 9-7. It felt like Ohio State's losing by two touchdowns at that point. They're actually leading 9-7. Why am I talking about that? Sean Springs was awesome. All right, that's why I'm talking
about
it.
The last time they had more than two interceptions was 2022. Can you name the player?
Say that again?
The last time they had a player with more than two interceptions was 2022. Can you name the player?
2022. Let me think, he was even on the team. Okay, 2022. So they were playing Georgia in the semifinals that year.
It's an odd, it's a name you probably won't immediately think of.
Tuimoloau.
No. Tanner McAllister had 3 interceptions that season.
Oh, wow. Tanner McAllister. Yeah. I haven't thought of that name in a while. From Oklahoma State, huh? Yeah.
Yep. The Jim Knowles' guy.
Was that the year Tuimoloau had like 2? I don't know.
No. He did have 2. Yes. Tied for 2nd with Steel Chambers.
Man, I thought I was going to sneak one in there with JT Tuimoloau leaving the team. And they might have been both in that.
That is a good call.
He just completely took over the game in the 4th quarter. He had a touchdown. It was just – it was unbelievable. All right, good stuff. People are guessing Steel Chambers and our guy Tanner McAllister. Gosh.
Yeah, wild.
I thought about him. You could have given me, like, all day, and I wouldn't have got that unless I looked it up. All right, this was fun, Pat. I appreciate it. Pat,
yes.
Great stuff. He's got an awesome story on Bucknuts right now on Julian Sand. We're not getting a lot of interviews these days. Julian Sand had a kind of a – what was it? Remind me what it was for. It's a charity that he's doing, I believe.
No, it was the Panini, the card company, did an event here in town, and he's a partner with them. And so they were doing – it was actually giving out these stickers ahead of the World Cup, which you know is on my my agenda this summer. And I guess – the kids collect these stickers and put them in magazines. I don't really know how that works, but it was about that. It was at a card store down by Nationwide downtown, and he was there taking pictures and signing autographs and giving out these stickers and then did some interviews with some guys. So, good on Julian for being out there.
Yeah, read Pat's story. It's on Bucknuts right now. Get on our front page. It's free for the masses, I believe, Pat. Is that right?
Yep.
Get on Bucknuts, read that story about Julian Sand. It's a really good story, and that kid, he just impresses me more and more and more. Everything on the field, the way he is, off the field, he's first class. So are you, Pat. Appreciate it, my man.
Oh, thanks. Oh, thank you, Dave. So are you.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. All right, everybody. We appreciate you guys tuning in for the show. Thank you very much. Hope everyone has a great day and a great weekend. Go Bucks. Fire, 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 fire.